Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's message, our text for this message, is from Jesus' words to his disciples at the close of this little sermon that he gave to them before they went off on their missionary journey. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I wrote down a thing that I read or heard on the internet. It was about humility, and not just any humility, but Christian humility. And I thought it was kind of interesting the way it was put. It said, even as Christians, we feel anger and resentment, and we feel that we have a right to be treated well. Jesus never promised his disciples a fair fight. If Jesus didn't get one, then why should you? We don't need to get the last word. We don't need to win the argument. We don't need to be vindicated in this world. We don't need to show I'm right. God will vindicate us in the end. So that is humility, and also humility is able to love because we have been loved. And I kind of see that talk about humility really touching on this text about love. As I said before, for like the last 3 weeks or so, this message of Jesus has just been building and building and building to the disciples, getting more serious and more serious, until finally this week, at the end of it, we kind of have a crescendo to everything that's being said. Jesus says he doesn't come to bring peace, he comes to bring division, a sword. And then we hear the words here that was to really been hard for the disciples to hear. Keep in mind, last week we said that Christianity was countercultural. Well, the thing that that culture valued the highest was your family. And here Jesus says, if you love your father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son and daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. And by this, he doesn't mean we don't deserve Jesus. What he means by this is that we don't belong with Jesus. That's how serious this is. So we need to look at what this love really means. And the first thing we need to understand is that loving God is equal to loving Jesus. The two go hand in hand. A lot of people will look at the religions around the world and say, oh yeah, they're all different in their own ways, but you're really all basically worshiping the same thing. And Jesus would say, absolutely not. To really illustrate that, we see the many times Jesus had conflict with the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the men who were the most steeped in scriptural knowledge about the covenant people of God and how the covenant people of God loved God. And in John chapter 8, Jesus confronts them and questions them on this. Not only questioning whether they love God, but Jesus questions whether they even know God. It's John chapter 8, verse 42. I think it's 44. Two verses later, then Jesus says, I know who your father is. Your father is Satan. So for Jesus, yes, loving God means loving him. And so we have to understand, what is the nature of that love? Well, the nature of that love, we would say, is very simple. We would say love, like Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that seems very simple. The problem is, we have to understand what Jesus is actually saying. He says, if you love me, love comes first. Then you keep my commandments. I'm not saying keeping commandments aren't an important way of showing our love for Jesus, and yet it doesn't start with what we do. It starts with the love that we have for Jesus. I'll give you an example. Jesus talks here about loving your children, right? All right, let's see if this works. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay, how's that work with your kids? If you love your kids, you will keep their commandments? Not in the Schaefer house. If it was, we'd be having Taco Bell every night. And, you know, tonight's Sloppy Joe night. So, no, it doesn't work that way in the Schaefer house. That's not the way that Jesus is talking about love here. All right? He's talking about love is a treasuring of our child. It's a fundamental, foundational emotion that is created in us the first time we hold our child. And we're always changed from that point on. We're not husband, not wife anymore. We're father and mother. And we would do anything for our kids. That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about. And he says, consider how much love you have for your children. You have to love me more than that. Now, how can that be, and where does that kind of love come from? For me, I was just looking through scriptures, and for me, what really pushed this point is in Luke chapter 7. Jesus gets invited to a banquet at a wealthy Pharisee's house. And the second he gets there, the host, Simon is his name, treats him rudely. Jesus is the only one that doesn't get a welcoming kiss. He's the only one not anointed with oil. He's the only one who, not only Simon doesn't wash his feet, he doesn't even have his slave wash Jesus' feet. So then they recline at table. The way they would do that is they'd kind of lie down on their side and prop themselves up on their left arm, eat with their right hand with their feet out back. So you got all these people around this low table eating away, and their feet are all back behind them, and everybody's feet are clean except Jesus. Then a woman comes in. The banquet would be held in the courtyard. Wealthy banquets would be in courtyards so that people in the community could come in and witness what they were not invited to. And that's where she comes in. And everybody knows her. She's a prostitute. And she comes up to Jesus' feet. She washes his feet with her tears and wipes his feet with her hair. And Simon is beside himself, as you can understand. And he's thinking to himself, if you're a prophet, you should know exactly who this is, and you should do something about it. Well, Jesus knows exactly who it is, and so he does something about it. He says to Simon, I'll tell you a story. These two guys owed someone else money. One owed 50 denarii, one owed 500 denarii, and the man forgave both their debts. And then Jesus says, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So in this case, this woman was able to love like this because she literally was stunned by the love that Jesus had already shown her. Her life is transformed because of the forgiveness earlier Jesus had given her. And her life will never be the same again. Again, all this talk about loving Jesus more than family was hard enough for the disciples. The next thing is even harder. He says, okay, I'm not only saying you have to love me more than your mother and father and more than your children, you have to love me, this is the hardest one, more than yourself. We see that when Jesus says, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. At this point, the disciples are probably hoping that Jesus would start talking about sparrows again, right? That was a lot lighter than this, because for them, pick up your cross and follow me, the cross was not symbolic as it is for us. For them, it was a brutal reality of life. In first century Palestine, crucifixion would have been all around them. I'm sure almost all of these disciples had witnessed a crucifixion. This is the first time Jesus alludes to crucifixion in the Gospel of Matthew. So the disciples can't possibly be aware that Jesus literally means to do this himself. And yet, 2.5 years later or so, they will see Jesus die on a cross for the forgiveness of their sins. They will see Jesus rise from the dead. And they will have witnessed the greatest love anyone has ever shown to anyone in this world. And that love transformed the disciples. So from that point on, Nothing was as important as Jesus' love for them, and therefore their love for Jesus and others. I pray that we live in that transformative love of Jesus Christ, a love that starts with his love for us and then leads us to love others and love him, and to understand that nothing in our life is as important as that love. In Jesus' name, amen.